today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much.
Would you like me to do a quick roll call?
Please do, thank you.
Good morning, good evening, everyone. On today's call, we've got Avery Doria, Mike Rodenbach, Christina Rosette, Steve Metalis, Alan Greenberg, Tim Ruiz, Philip Corwin. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Marika Konings, Glenda Saint-Géry, Liz Gaster, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We will have Mark Trachtenberg joining us 20 minutes late, and apologies, we have Adrian Kinderis, Rebecca McKinnon, and Stefan van Gelder. If I could please also just remind everyone to state their names when they speak, as this will help for the transcriptions and for the recording purposes. Thank you. Back over to you, Avery.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is Avery. So we have an agenda. We have four items on it. I don't know if we'll get through all four. What we're starting on is the item that we would stopped on at the last meeting, which was basically to come to an agreement on whether we've got one group or two groups here. And I think that in some sense, I thought we were moving towards a consensus on it, but I don't think we had gotten there yet. The consensus seemed to be building that there certainly are two items of work that they're proposed that are being worked on, but there also was a strong consideration of the fact that at some intermediate point, at least, the things need to come together. But we hadn't quite gotten, and we were at a point of, is this one group that's got two sub-efforts? Is this two groups? And then there was the complicating factor, perhaps, although it doesn't need to be, that one of these was being envisioned as a GNSO working group to look into issues of the RAA specifically. And, of course, that would be an open working group to anyone, but it would be a GNSO effort. And then the other one was defined as a joint effort between ALAC and the GNSO to produce what has been called at various times a Registrant's Bill of Rights and has had different other descriptions on it. Now, we had gotten to the point of realizing that even if there was a Registrant's Bill of Rights that went beyond the rights that have already been defined in the document that was presented last time, that those would then need to fill in or would need to get moved into the group trying to decide what to do about any changes, if any, to the RAA. So that's sort of my hand-wavy explanation of where I think we got to, but we still haven't resolved the issue. So I'd like to open up the floor to anyone that wants to sort of keep working on this issue. One group or two groups, folks? Anyone?
It's Mike Rodenbaugh. I guess I'll just reiterate what I said on the list, or what I think I recall I said on the list, which is that we're going to have enough trouble finding volunteers to do all this work. The two pieces of the work, in my mind at least, are intertwined. I don't see how you do a charter of rights and responsibilities that doesn't somehow have provisions that are baked into the RAA document itself. Indeed, I think the entire charter ought to be appended to the RAA somehow as an exhibit or whatever. Scarcity of people, unity of topics, why do we need two different groups? I still haven't understood why people are saying that we need them.
Okay, thank you. Anyone?
Average Alan.
Alan?
I think we're back at using the term multiple different ways. As I understand it now, we may the charter group, as it were, whether it's the same group or not as the other one, has two potential documents coming out of it. One is a reformation in clear, simple, understandable language of existing rights and responsibilities, which is the one that's referenced in the revised RAA that all registrars are obliged to point to. And the second is a more ethereal document of what we believe future the rights should be, which has implications on the RAA. It also has implications on just pure consensus policy, especially if we approve the changes which have been proposed by Steve and Tim in the charter of the other group, is some things are not going to be eligible for discussion with the RAA because they're truly consensus policy that will have to follow the more traditional path for making changes. So I think we need to be really clear when we're talking about the charter, are we talking about the existing rights one or the future rights one? Because I think the decision of how the groups come up with them may be different depending on which one we're talking about.
I just want to, I think it's only when you bring up the issues that we end up with this particular conflict, because we're referring to an independent effort to create a Bill of Rights, is what I've been calling, a Bill of Registrants' Rights, not a Charter of Registrants' Rights. So I don't think that what we're calling the document or the overloading of the term charter is really where the problem lies. I think you're right in that the problem lies in there is a working group being chartered that has certain activities, and then there is an activity, two other activities, that we haven't decided whether they fit into that working group, as Mike is suggesting, or whether they should be separate activities. But I don't think the name of the thing is really the...
I don't think the name is either. I just want to make sure that both Tim and Mike are talking about the same thing. And when I hear them talk, I hear different things.
This is Tim. I have to apologize. I went to put myself off mute to get in the queue, and I hung myself up, so I just rejoined.
Okay, so... Go ahead.
I'm not quite sure where the discussion was at.
Basically,
maybe it's premature for me to interject. I guess I was just wanting to try to get caught up on...
Right,
on,
okay. Where we're at is basically Mike has reiterated the position that sort of says there's not enough people, there's a lot of work, and he basically, and correct me, Mike, if I get this wrong, basically the work of both groups is sort of intertwined, so why... No one's explained to him why it should be two separate activities, why the activities don't go together. Alan brought up the point that there are really three separate work items, but I don't think made an argument for one group or two groups, just basically was indicating, and that sometimes in the conversations we get hung up over words like charter used in multiple ways that may be confusing the discussion.
Right. Well, my opinion is, you know, it all depends on how long we want to take to actually have a postable registrant rights document. You know, registrant rights exist. I mean, it's not something that would take a lot of debate or discussion. If there's certain interpretations that need to be clarified, we can certainly get that done in, I believe, fairly short order. If we tie these together too tightly, then what's going to happen is we're going to have this ongoing months and months discussion, and we're not going to have anything to post in that regard. So it just seems to me to be an unfortunate situation where there's something we could produce fairly quickly if we could put a small group on it to get it done. That doesn't mean the work is over. That would continue, perhaps, with further discussions that might be involved in the RAA discussions about other things that would actually require amendments to the RAA. I understand that could happen. But this specific task of creating an existing registrant's rights so that could get posted and linked to, as we agreed to and as we're required to do if one ever exists in our RAA to get it linked to, it just seems like, you know, why do we want to confuse things and just get that so skewed off that it's going to be months and months before we see something like that get posted.
Okay.
And I see it as a very different, separate, much more of fact-finding or fact-collection type of effort that we could do in pretty short order.
Okay, well, there really were three work items, and you've singled out one of them, as I understand it, which is defining the current rights as they exist in a easy-to-understand, easily readable one that can be posted everywhere. The other two work items were the ones that have been defined by Steve in his proposed charter, but then there's the third work element, which is the, call it, optimal rights and responsibilities document that goes beyond what may or may not exist at the moment.
Now, I don't know where that comes from. I mean, that to me is where is the resolution that proposed that?
I guess people interpret the resolution that was made as not only defining the rights as they currently exist, but the rights as a normative thing.
And I guess this is where I just want to make clear where registrars are on this. That from our view, what we agreed to was one, to have further discussions about potential RAA amendments people would like to see. Those may include things pertaining to registrant rights that would require changes in the RRA to garner. That could be included. That's fine. The second thing that we agreed to was to do the registrant rights charter and get that posted and linked to as required in the new RAA. And that's we see as a fact-finding sort of mission where, you know, this is the existing rights and responsibilities of registrants that we can pull together in what I consider to be a reasonable amount of time. So where the third work item wish list or whatever, that can be rolled into the RIA discussion. Those things could be identified. That's the discussion where those need to be brought up.
Right. If I understand from what Alan said, and Alan, I'll ask you to jump in, by excluding any issue that might be open to consensus policy, I guess he believes or has stated that would make it impossible to talk about some of those possible rights.
Aubrey, this is Steve. Could I get in the queue?
Please.
And I don't know where we agreed to discuss those, or what would the value be?
Okay. Steve.
Yeah, I think Aubrey, I think in your last comment, you're getting a little bit ahead of the agenda here because we haven't discussed Tim's proposed edit to the charter. But I would basically agree with Tim that I think if there are issues relating to registrants' rights that people think should be included in the RAA, then that fits pretty comfortably into the group, into the work of the group whose charter I've drafted, which is one part of the resolution. And it just may be for efficiency, it may make more sense to have those discussions there and confine the registrant rights discussion, as Tim suggests, to kind of a descriptive summary and a plain language summary of what's in the existing RAA, so that the normative part that you're talking about would come up in the discussion of possible amendments to the RAA. And I would also say, in response to Mike, I think he's overstated the degree of overlap here. There obviously is some overlap. But there may be many amendments to the RAA that don't have anything directly to do with registrant rights, but that address other issues. And so I don't think it's fair to say, as he did, that this is basically the same task or that the tasks are unified. I think it ought to be possible, whether it's through two separate groups or two subgroups of one group, to have one group working on the draft that Margie did of what's in the existing agreement, and another group working on possible amendments, many of which may have to do with registrant rights, but some of which won't have directly to do with registrant rights.
Okay.
Mike, can I just reply to that?
Mike, yeah, I was going to ask both Mike and Alan to you know, comment. Mike, from the perspective of it being two efforts and one of them cut off, specifically to do the descriptive, and then Alan, do you accept that notion also of the normative going in with the rest of the work? Mike?
Yeah, I mean, my concern is that, well, they're not exactly the same tasks, and I didn't mean to suggest that they were. I think they are interrelated, as I said, and you know, most importantly, if we go off in one direction and create this Charter of Rights and Responsibilities, then we agree to further amendments to the RAA that would change that Charter of Rights and Responsibilities. But that, you will have already posted it, and then you're going to amend it. That's going to be very confusing to people. I think it's more important to just get it done right, the way we all agree it should look, and then publish it. There shouldn't be any hurry to codify what is in the RAA now when we all understand that it might well change.
I have a question.
This is Tim. Can I get back in the queue, too?
Okay.
This
yes.
is Phil. I just want to queue up.
Okay, so I've got Tim, and then I had Alan already in the queue, but Tim, you wanted to respond to that. And then who else wanted into the queue?
Phil.
Phil. Okay, thank you. Okay, Tim, so you
Tim
were responding
Alan?
Directly to what?
Yeah. The difference is, Mike, is that this ongoing discussion of the RAA amendments, if somehow we're under some impression this is, you know, we're going to come to agreement on amendments in a new RAA in like a month or two, I mean, I think that's just like totally optimistic and unrealistic. We might identify things that we are mutually agreed upon or whatever that you might want to look at for amending the RAA. Coming to the actual language and negotiating all of that, we haven't even decided what those steps are going to look like. This is just an identification process. So actually having a changed, modified RAA, and then the timing, as we've seen before, you know, is an issue on when that gets adopted, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking, if we're going to hold up this rights charter until then, you know, you're talking months and months out. And yet, here we can get this thing done and get it posted. It's not going to get changed in any short order. It'll always be changeable and editable, but I think any changes are some time out to be realistic here with the way things move. So it seems to me it would be too bad if we decide to hold up publishing an existing rights and responsibilities charter until that all that work is done.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Yeah, when I raised the point, I wasn't advocating any issue. I was just looking for clarity to make sure when we were talking and we used the term charter or whatever term we use, that we differentiated between the one that Tim is calling existing rights and the one that you're calling the normative rights, or the what people have referred to as the wish list. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't talking at odds with using the same word or words for two different things, because otherwise we're never going to come to closure. In terms of the overall opinion of where do I think we're going, I agree with Tim. I think it's important to get something posted. We're already working with two versions, depending on whether a registrar is under the new terms or the old terms of the RAA. If it changes again sometime in the future, then we change it. And it's going to change either because of RAA amendments or consensus policy that goes along the traditional PDP path. There's a lot of reasons why this is going to evolve over time, hopefully, but I don't see that as a reason not to post something as quickly as we can to clarify the water, and it's rather murky water we have right now of what the rules and rights are associated with registrations.
Okay, thank you. Phil?
Yeah, I just like to, I think the first task, which is just a list of the existing rights, is not going to take a long time. We have this draft summary dated July 21st. I don't think it's going to take very long to review that and then see if there's consensus that that's the correct listing. I think it'd be very useful for all registrants to have that available, and it shouldn't wait on the task of drafting new provisions of the RAA, including possibly new registrants' rights and responsibilities, which could take, as people pointed out, you know, many months, given the ICANN process, the best bet is it'll take more time rather than less obvious. And I think it'd also be useful to get a consensus version of the existing rights and responsibilities posted, because any new proposals are going to have to be based on informed knowledge of what the existing rights are. So it's best we establish that as the starting point for any further efforts.
Okay. If I can try and understand what you said. First, when I was listening, I thought that you were saying, yeah, have a separate group of people go off and get that done. But then having it as a starting place made me start to think that perhaps you thought it should be the initial activity before we went on to do other stuff. So could you clarify?
Well, yeah, I don't have a strong opinion on one group or two groups or how you divvy up those groups if there's two groups. I just don't see the task of agreeing on what the existing rights are as that big a challenge. We have this draft summary from staff, and I think with the people in the group, we could agree rather quickly on whether that's accurate. So it seems to me that's got to be out there, because any discussion of other rights, new rights or responsibilities for registrants have to be based on a common understanding and knowledge of what the existing rights are. And then I don't have a firm opinion as to whether we should have one group drafting, approaching new rights and responsibilities for registrants, and another one addressing other RAA potential amendments, or whether it's one combined group. I have a feeling that they're going to wind up going forward together, whether they're divided up at the beginning or not. So,
thank you.
I hope that's helpful, but I do think I don't see any reason for a consensus agreement and public posting what the existing rights are has to wait on other work, which can take many, many months, whether it's one group or two groups.
Thank you. So the logic I hear in that is that perhaps it should be, and I ask people to comment, especially Tim, who thought it should be two groups, that it could be one group with two deliverables, one deliverable being a quick deliverable, a 30 to 60-day deliverable, that is take what's been put together and come up with a clear statement and send that forward, and then to continue on the rest of the work as one possible way to sort of resolve the one or two, and that it's basically two activities sequentially in one group. Is that a way to go forward? And Tim, you know, does that work for you? And also Steve, who's proposed a charter, does that work for you and others?
Yeah, I mean, that would work for me. The main issue is that I would like to see the, you know, some charter sooner than later. And if that's the best process to do it, then that's fine. You know, being sensitive to the fact that we've got a lot going on, and, you know, some of us may be playing double duty on if we had two groups. I can understand that. My main reasoning for the two groups was to see so that both activities could, or both processes could get started, because I know there's some, you know, there's obviously we're all anxious for both to get going. But if the resources just aren't there, if we're just not capable, then I think that, yes, you know, if we can do the charter first and then move from there into the other RAA issues, you know, that would be fine with me.
This is Steve. I think I would agree with Tim, but I am concerned about holding up the even beginning work on the RAA amendments. I guess one question I have is the draft charter, I had T, which was, I guess, the date on which the council approves the charter or something.
Yeah.
So what's the earliest date that T could be? Because
if we complete a charter and can get it posted within, I guess, a week at this point, then our next meeting is, 13th of September, something like that?
The 3rd, I think, actually.
3rd of September. So 3rd of September, we need to have the charter ready at least a week, if not more, in advance. Then it could come up for a vote in council. There's always a chance that the vote will get pushed off by 3 weeks, because we've accepted a general practice that if any constituency says, well, I'm not ready yet, we need one more cycle to review it in the constituency, they can. So then it would be the end of September. Now, we could, while doing that, have people working on this first task. And as this group could immediately expand itself and start working on
the first task, even though the charter for the work hadn't been developed, I wouldn't think that would be problematic.
Could we do that on the second task as well? I mean, I guess...
Well, not if we're doing them sequentially.
Well, my concern about the sequential is I think we should put... I mean, I think if people are right that this is a very simple job to do, to just review Margie's document and mark that up, basically, then that's fine. If we can do that in 10 days, then I don't think it's a big problem to delay starting work on discussion of RAA amendments. But if that's going to drag on for 20 or 30 days before we even get started on the RAA work, and perhaps even longer if we can't start on the RAA work until after the council approves the charter, then I just think I would hate to see that type of delay. So I guess my feeling is that I'm okay with a sequential activity as long as we can wrap up step one, let's say, by the end of this month.
Well, we could certainly... I don't see any reason why we couldn't put the charter in, get the charter finished, and get it proposed with this as deliverable one, and immediately start working on that first activity. Because that was an activity that was specifically mentioned in the previous resolution. I would be uncomfortable, I guess, starting on the second activity until such time as we had gotten a charter approved.
Well, I'm not sure I understand the distinction, because both activities were specifically mentioned in the resolution. And, in fact, I think that we've had a lot of uncertainty about what the first one was, but I think everyone's fairly clear on what the second one was. So I just hope we could move ahead as quickly as possible. But I wouldn't – if the consensus is that we should have a charter that has the registrant's rights document first and then turn to the RAA, I wouldn't object to that consensus as long as there's a clear time limit on first step.
Avery, could I get in, Alan?
Sure, Alan.
I guess I'm maybe being a little bit pessimistic, but I don't think that taking Margie's document and transforming it into something that we're ready to post is going to go quite as quickly as we're talking about. Being someone who's likely to, like Tim, who's likely to be participating in both activities, I think doing them serially is marvelous, and you know, don't end up with double meetings. On the other hand, I worry about losing the interest of people who are not particularly interested in the wordsmithing part of posting a charter and want to talk about the substantive issues. And like Steve said, the RAA discussion is going to take a long time, and to delay starting it by potentially several months, I'm not sure there's a strong argument for that. So I'd like to see two groups despite the extra workload for those involved in both.
Okay. I don't know whether I'm optimistic or pessimistic, but seeing how long it's taking us to agree on a charter, I do have my questions on how quickly we'll get anything else done. So while I thought we were moving towards a possible way forward, I think we're back to still having a question open of one or two.
Hello?
Hello? Someone wish to speak?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hi?
Yes?
I just got logged off. I was wondering. Hello?
Hello, you got logged off of what?
Is this the operator?
No, this is a conference call.
Oh, I'm on the conference call. This is Carlton Samuels.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Carlton. Yes, you got put into the call. The operator didn't log you off. She just stuck you in the call.
Okay.
Or he just stuck you in the call.
Well, Avery, I would just emphasize, I'm prepared to go either way. I think if there are two groups, that's fine. And if there's one group that has this as its first job, that's okay with me if there's a time limit on the first step. But I think Alan was suggesting that it may not be realistic to have a time limit, so if that's the case, I would support having two groups.
I don't claim to have any prescience on this. I'm just suggesting it might take a while.
No.
Anyone else that hasn't?
Right.
Anyone else that hasn't spoken yet? Christina, you've been very quiet.
It's because I'm still so relaxed from vacation that I'm having
oh,
hard time.
Oh, okay. I envy you.
No, I agree with Steve. I do have some concerns about doing this serially, particularly if we don't build in some time frames. I understand Alan's concern on that point. But I have to think that there may be some language that we can come up with that would work for everybody, that would indicate that work with regard to the discussion on possible further amendments would begin not later than or something like that, that would give us some flexibility to allow the registrant rights aspect of it to kind of move ahead. To the greatest extent possible, and I also agree with Alan. I think I think it's going to take quite a bit of time to get the language in Margie's document transformed into something that is going to be acceptable to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Alan. One more thought.
Yes, Alan.
Yeah. I'm not even sure it's going to be possible to take what Margie has and transform it into language. We may end up having to decide that the best we can do is formulate a general statement and then have, you know, each registrar tailor the document with a link pointing to the specific contractual term or something like that applies. So I just think it's going to be a more complex process than we're envisioning right now, having looked at some of these issues before.
Okay, thanks.
I prefer one if it wasn't, but I'm not sure where it's going.
I'll basically add one opinion now, which is seeing how much trouble we're having coming up with one charter. I'm afraid that trying to come up with two charters will make it go even longer. I think it's quite possible, if I take what Christina said, is to put this a sentence for the production of this bill of existing rights as a first work item and not make it an end to beginning dependency for the next one. So just have it as the first activity, start that activity as soon as we agree on a charter, get some people that are actually willing to start, you know, wordsmithing and working on that while we're getting the rest of the charter approved, but then get things going in the normal process of time. Because even once the charter's approved, then we've got to get, you know, people going, got to get the first meeting scheduled, and we will have had a month to 6 weeks of possible work on the first item before we even get the group up and running. So I would suggest that we try to put it within one charter, even if we end up, once we have that group, breaking it up into a subgroup that does one bit of work while the other one continues on the other. I just don't see us doing two charters at the moment. We're having enough trouble with one charter. So is there any objection to going forward on the one charter, including the separate work items where they're done largely serially, but we are not actually waiting to finish the first before beginning the second? No objection?
Well, the only thing I would say is if you go back and look at the resolution, it's clear that the council thought these could be done simultaneously because they gave the same end date for both. And it was a short time, and now...
Well, they gave the end date.
Now you're referring... You're talking about not even starting on the RAA work for 6 weeks from today? That would mean that we've... You know, we don't get started until October? I don't think that's what the... It's hard to see that that's what the council intended, and I don't want to see that work held up. I think if we had the two groups... You know, those interested in the charter working on that and those interested in the RAA topics working on that, there is some overlap, but I think we can do both.
Yeah, it's Alan. I'll point out that
someone made a comment a little while ago saying that negotiating the RAA and things like that is going to take a long time, but we're not talking about fixing the RAA. We're talking about a drafting team to decide on the methodology for fixing the RAA, I think.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. It's really to identify topics.
Again, we're on that side, we seem to have two different discussions going on in parallel.
Okay. I really don't know what to suggest at the moment.
This is Christina. I actually have a question for those who would prefer two groups. And I guess I'll be more specific than that. I'm thinking, or maybe let me just rephrase it, not necessarily two groups, but for Tim and Alan, just to kind of get a sense from you both, I mean, what is your estimate, realistic, best estimate, if we were to say, okay, we're going to do registrant rights and we're going to focus on that? Given the perspectives that you're coming at from this, I mean, are you thinking that this is going to, we're going to need 3 months? Are you thinking we're going to need 6 months? I mean,
I don't think there's a chance we're going to have something finished before the end of Seoul. I think with a face-to-face meeting, we'd probably have a good draft out coming out of Seoul. But I find it hard to believe we'd do it faster than that.
I guess I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that, Alan. I mean, I think that the document Margie came up with is pretty comprehensive. And if we don't like the format, you know, let's just talk about a format that makes sense. But, you know, if we're not going to create or invent rights and responsibilities, but base it on what currently exists, the only issue that I can see is where there might be some disagreement about how a particular requirement in the RAA or whatever is, or in a consensus policy is interpreted. I think we can resolve those fairly quickly, actually. So I just don't understand why we're talking sometime after the Seoul meeting before we could have something.
I was asked for an opinion. I said that's what I think it's going to take till we have something which is close to being ready to post. If I'm wrong, I'm delighted, but that was my opinion. It's not clearly not the only one.
And, you know, my personal feeling, Aubrey, is, you know, let's just ask for volunteers to work on that. I don't know how much of a charter we actually need.
I don't think we need
the work started. And then, you know, put a date, say by, you know, September 3rd, you know, we need to have this charter done and approved for the RAA working group and that thing taking off by September 3rd or whatever. I don't, you know, I don't want to see that get put off. But anyone who wants to work on this charter, why can't just get started and proceed? I mean, if we've got a big chunk of it done.
Collection
of the information.
Yeah, I guess I have a similar reaction to you in that the work has pretty much been done. It may just be, as you say, a formatting issue to make it, you know, easier for people to look down a list and see bullet items. And then there may be one or two questions of interpretation along the way. So I tend to agree. I don't understand where the problem is in that one. Certainly there'd be a problem if we were talking about a normative list, but a descriptive list should be fairly cut and dry.
Is there, Alan, are there other individuals on the call or MCUC on this call that have thoughts on that and why we couldn't? I mean, you know, what I would like to do, and this may not make sense to you, but is to just ask, you know, those in the ALAC or in the MCUC perhaps to just suggest a format, you know, take what Margie's come up with and suggest how it could be better formatted or how you would like to see it, suggest that back. Let us take a look and see, and then maybe we can come up with something in pretty short order that at least is a framework that we can present to the larger group.
I have no problem with trying that. Again, I was asked for an opinion, and I gave it.
Okay.
I think it's going to take longer,
can
but I'm happy if it doesn't.
Okay, Carlton, yes, what would you like to add?
Yeah, on the email list, I gave an example of the geographic regions working group and what we did to develop a charter. It seems to me that the work that is already done, it might just be a formatting requirement, and I was pointing to that charter to see if we could look at it and see how we got developed it. It was very quickly. To me, it follows a certain format. You have the recitals that tells you what the basis of the requirements are. You have the recitals that tells you where the group gets its powers from, and you tell what it is that you hope to do and what expectations you have for results.
Yeah, no, we've got a charter. Thank you, Colin. We do have a charter. We have some disagreements or discussions to have yet on a couple items in that charter, but certainly the writing of a charter isn't the question. The question at the moment was what work items were included within that charter. Do other people...
I saw it, and I didn't think anything. There was anything that was so great that was missing.
Okay, thank you. Tim and Alan, are you willing to, and does anyone object to, the two of them going off and pulling some people to work with them to see whether we can arrive at a format for the descriptive list of rights? I think that's what I'm going to call it from now on, the descriptive list of rights, as an initial activity to include that activity, that ongoing activity, is part of this charter, but not make anything dependent on its completion, and then move on with the charter and discuss item two on the charter. Is there any objection to that?
If you were talking about me as one of those participants doing it in the next few weeks, I'm not available.
Okay, so we'd need to find another volunteer from ALAC to work with Tim, assuming Tim is not pulling his name out of being volunteered.
I have a meeting in Vietnam the week after next, and I'm not questioning you.
I'm just saying,
until the beginning of September, I'm completely blocked.
Is there someone else from ALAC that is both up to speed enough and you think would be willing to do that with Tim?
Whether the willing, the up to speed is not hard for the existing Charter of Rights. The availability is a different issue.
Right. So the descriptive list of rights.
Yeah.
To honor your request that we not overload the word charter.
Why not use the word in six different ways?
Well, Alan, is it something you could shoot off explaining to maybe to Cheryl and then?
I'll certainly do that. I'm just not in a position to commit a body right now.
Sure. But then just let them know I'm available. I'd go to this Toronto meeting, North American meeting. It's like Wednesday through Friday, but I'll be on email and watching things, so I'll be available and see what we can
Keep in touch and see what we can do.
Okay.
So in the meantime, that would mean adding a line to the beginning of this charter that sort of indicates this is an ongoing activity between ALAC and GNSO to basically take the list that Margie has produced and put it into publishable form, and then continuing with the charter as currently written, and then we come up to point two. So, Steve, would you be able to craft a couple words for that first item?
Sure. It would be like we'd make that A, and then B would be 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, great.
Or something like that. Okay.
Descriptive
list of rights. That's helpful.
Right, the descriptive list of rights, a descriptive list of existing rights or whatever.
Well, yeah. There is some terminology in the amended RAA, which
okay,
we
that's
could probably
good.
Use.
Yeah.
And then Alan, just to be sure, it came across right. I'm not saying other things can't be discussed. It's just that the place for those then would probably be in this other discussion, right?
I wasn't arguing against that.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not coming off the wrong way here.
Okay. Then the next thing is, I guess it's now B. We had. Point number two, where Tim, we had point number one, which I guess was acceptable to everyone, which was identify topics on which further action in the form of amendments to the REA may be desirable. And that's the same as what Tim offered. Then Tim offered a number two, topics identified will not include any subject matter open to consensus policy. Now, I understood from Alan's discussion that that exclusion might be problematic, and I don't know if that was an issue for anyone else.
This is Steve. Could I get in the queue?
Yes, Steve.
Yeah, my only concern there, first of all, I'm not 100% sure what that I understand what Tim is driving at here, but if my only concern is, again, in terms of speed and trying to come up with a product fairly quickly. I understand that there may be issues in certain amendments that, you know, may better be dealt with it through consensus policy and so forth. And but I just don't want this group to bog down into a lawyer's argument about whether something is or is not within the scope of consensus policy. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the council. If they want an opinion from the general counsel, they can ask for that or whatever. But I think we have enough to do in terms of identifying some of these topics. And again, I think it was well pointed out by Alan, I think, that we're not trying to draft new provisions here. We're really just trying to identify topics, hopefully with some particularity, but maybe at some level of generality. And I don't think it's going to be fruitful to spend the time measuring all those against whether conceivably something within that topic might get into the area of consensus policy. So I would suggest that we might want to have something in there that, you know, maybe we could flag, you know, the report could flag issues that might have an impact on consensus policy or something like that. But I wouldn't want us to spend a lot of time saying you can't list this topic because it is, quote, a subject matter open to consensus policy, unquote.
Can I ask a question? Would it be possible to have number two phrased as identify any topics which would be subject to consensus policy? Because if there are topics, there may be topics that require amendment, there may be topics that require consensus policy, to identify them and or you could even put in the first one, identify topics from which further action in the form of amendments or consensus policy may be desirable or something.
I would strongly support something like that. We may even end up with issues that have to be addressed by an RA amendment and consensus policy. I don't think the group.
The problem is getting registrars to agree to that and then participate. That's what I'm trying to keep focused here is because, you know, I mean, rightfully, you know, or understandably, rightfully or not, or whatever, you know, registrars are concerned about this whole discussion. And so if we say, if all of a sudden we open this up to say, well, now it's going to be a discussion of things we'd like to see amended in the IRA or things we'd like to see consensus policies about, I think the registrar's constituency is just going to clam up and let me just finish, Steve. Let me suggest something here. That we leave one as it is, and that I think that we could come to some agreement with addressing your concern that, you know, we don't get into debate about whether something is consensus policy or not, but we include in number two that step where at some point, once these topics have been identified, then maybe, you know, staff, council, or whatever offers back some comment about, well, these are consensus policy issues, so that we end up with, here are the things then that are amendments that would go into step three, the next steps, for the furthering discussion on now, okay, these are amendments we've identified, now how do we get these things amended? And those things are identified as consensus policies, and whoever has concerns about those, they have a process for dealing with it. They can, you know, ask for an issues report or do whatever it is they want to do. But I can understand that difficulty of not getting bogged down in debate about that. So if we flag something as, well, you know, there's some concern about this might be actually a consensus policy issue, then those things at the end that are flagged can be reviewed by staff, some opinion can be given, and then that way we have a list of topics to move forward in the next steps.
So in other words, you would see two changing to topics will then be analyzed by staff to determine which are subject to amendment and which are subject to consensus policy?
Right, something like that, exactly.
Well,
and
yeah.
Then three could be proposed next steps?
Right, right, on that.
Period.
Well,
right.
What I would suggest we might want to do on two is to say one is identify topics on which further action may be desirable. Second, identify topics that may require further analysis as to their impact on consensus policy or something like that. Because I'm comfortable with that. If we come out and say, here are topics 1 through 6, but many people on the committee or on the drafting team think that 5 and 6 or 4, 5, and 6 really need some, we need the staff to look at those and see whether we can do anything without, you know, without having problems with consensus policy, I'm comfortable with that. I just don't want to have this group spend a lot of time conducting that analysis.
And I think that's reasonable expectation. I don't have a problem with that. As long as, I just don't want it to appear as if we're changing what we've agreed to now, you know, have a discussion of consensus policies, so to speak. So.
Okay. Well, I'd be happy to change to topics that may require further analysis as to their impact on consensus policy or something like that. I can circulate some language. And then you've also had a change on 3, which is really just kind of shrinking what I remember in the last call, somebody suggested that we include there having a proposed charter for a working group. So I don't know why you took that out, but I'm comfortable with your 3.
Because I'm not sure. I don't know if we want to get into the debate right now about, well, we can, about what is the next steps. I mean, is it, you know, our registrar is going to be okay with a working group then to try to negotiate these amendments, or what would the process look like? And I think that's a big question that this group obviously will need to deal with, but to presuppose what that's going to be, I think, would be problematic. Or to get into a debate over what that next process is going to be, I think, will get us. If that's necessary to get done, then we can go down there. But I think that's going to be, you know, a considerable discussion. Let's just form a working group and we'll hammer out amendments.
Can I get in?
Steve, if I get in the queue.
Okay, who has to get in, please?
Alan.
Steve. Yeah, please. Although it's almost time, but yes, go ahead,
yeah.
Alan.
I was the one who suggested adding the words charter to that, and that presupposed that if the group is recommending a working group, then they might as well come up with the charter at the same time instead of having a discrete set other group, which we then have to charge to doing it. Certainly, you know, having wording of including a proposed charter of any planned working group or something would address the chance that maybe there isn't a working group.
Right, so it could be proposed next steps and charters, if any.
If applicable.
If applicable. Would that be okay and just leave it open and let the group decide what things? Some of them may be asking for issues reports. Some of them may be asking for working groups and proposing charters. Some of them may be who knows what. Does that make sense to people? Just leave it open, proposed next steps and charters, if applicable, or some such proper wording? Any objection to that?
I don't have any objection. I'd be fine with what the 3 as Tim proposed it, but I wouldn't mind.
I can live with any of it.
Well, with Tim, right, okay. If everyone's fine with that wording, we can leave that wording too. Okay. We're at the hour mark. We did do a couple things that were on the charter. I think we agreed on one group. And Steve said that he would make changes to the charter for an A and a B, and that those things were not, they one would start immediately, so if we have another meeting, we actually start on that, but we don't actually need a meeting for it. Tim and someone from ALAC and any others who are interested in participating in that, and I'd say use this list to do that work now. I think we're close to finalizing the charter with Steve's new with the new wording that Steve will do, and if we can come to an agreement on the charter in the next few days on the list, I can put it on the agenda and propose it for a vote at the next meeting to get that done. We got at least the first volunteers to launch a group to convert the document. And and agreeing a time period for deliverables on the charter. I think we've got that in the charter, but I ask people to take a look at it and propose anything different if they think it's necessary.
Okay, Avery, it's Alan. The issue of the two groups having different management, as it were, we need to formally address. I have no problem. I'm not foreseeing that ALAC is going to say we can't do it with one group. But
my proposal is that we make the whole thing a joint effort.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I'll report that and
right.
and go Anybody ahead with it. But I don't foresee any problem.
Effort? Any objection to that? That this is a joint effort between GNSO and ALAC on all of this? And then the next steps, some of those will be GNSO working groups, and some of those maybe who knows what. But this effort remains a joint effort. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. In which case, that was an hour. Actually,
thank
an hour three.
Thank
we
you. Well, we
late.
Started
late. So I appreciate it, and thank you all.
Thank you, Avery.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Steve, especially. Thank you.
Bye.